A centerpiece of my ministry here has been the premise that our Unitarian Universalist faith needs to balance heart and head. That might be the single most important premise, in fact, if I had to pick one. You can look at the last several hundred years of Unitarian Universalist history as one giant pendulum swing between a point in the middle where heart and head are integrated and the far pole where it's all head, no heart. We don't really have to worry much about this half of the pendulum swing because we never really go out that way. You know, to all heart, no head, not us, right? So we're in the middle to the other end. And I think that what's been interesting in the last 100 years or so is that we've been mostly pretty far out to that end where it's all head, no heart. And I'm really glad that I think our fellowship has been a small part of a movement nationwide that's bringing us back to more of a balance point. I think we have to do that. We have to do that if our faith is going to be relevant, if it's going to be attractive to others, and if it's going to be impactful in our society and our world. And then there's another related pendulum swing, and it's a spectrum between doubt on the one end and faith on the other. And again, we're really only in half of that, okay? So we're in the anywhere from doubt to the midpoint, the kind of integration of faith and doubt. We're not really much over toward the faith end of things. And again, I would say in the last 100 years or so, we've been pretty far out on the doubt end of things. Now, I actually love doubt. I think a robust amount of doubt is a really good thing in a spiritual path. Faith unbalanced by doubt translates into beliefs that cannot withstand the light of critical reason and thinking, and worse, faith unbalanced by doubt too easily morphs into fanaticism. So we Unitarian Universalists affirm the use of reason in developing our beliefs. We believe in testing our beliefs. We try to remain open to the possibility that our beliefs might be wrong or inadequate or in need of reformulation. We lift up the idea that our beliefs must remain forever works in progress rather than something that gets set and hardened for all time. But I also believe there is a place in Unitarian Universalism for faith. Some beliefs cannot be proven beyond any reasonable doubt. Some beliefs even require a leap of faith. And I think really you have to look no further than our first of the 7 Unitarian Universalist principles, our affirmation that all people have inherent dignity and worth. There is no definitive proof that this is true. It's very hard to look at someone like Hitler, who always comes up in these sorts of examples, or how about an ISIS fighter who burns to death someone while they watch and film it. It's hard to find any shred of inherent worth in folks who do stuff like that. Believing in the inherent dignity and worth of all people is actually a radical faith stand. It is actually a reckless leap of faith. And it's a reckless leap of faith that I try to make every single day, even when the evidence says maybe this isn't actually true. It's a leap of faith that has the potential, if I pay attention to it, to change radically how I live my life. This belief in the inherent worth of all people, for me, is one of the most important wellsprings of my commitment to including everyone. It's why I feel called to do the work of realizing fully human rights for everyone, particularly for those who are excluded or marginalized or oppressed. Without making this leap of faith every day, I would never find the passion or the energy to even begin the work of building a world that is more just and inclusive. This particular leap of faith is my fuel for this work. And this leads me to conclude that maybe more than anything, faith is an invitation to action. Now, I want to use my brain as well as my heart to figure out how to act. But act we must. Beliefs like affirming the inherent dignity and worth of all people demand us to act. They hold us accountable. They ask us, okay, you say you believe in the inherent dignity and worth of all people, but do you really live that way? Do your actions reflect that belief? Are you actually making that happen in the world? The belief, I think, calls us to ponder those questions. For centuries, a favorite slogan of Unitarian Universalism has been, deeds, not creeds. But too often in the last 100 years, we've actually translated that to say, deeds, not beliefs. And I think we need beliefs. I don't think, personally, we need creeds, a common belief that we all have to subscribe to. But I think we need beliefs. Without beliefs, we lose the impetus to act, to do the deeds demanded by our faith. No beliefs, no deeds is the formulation we have to worry about. And too often in the last century, I think our faith has been no deeds, no beliefs, no deeds, faith. So let's talk about some of the different beliefs that at least some of us have. There's this amazing belief that is really the centerpiece of a wonderful movement in the past couple years to demand full dignity and rights for LGBTQ people. It's the It Gets Better movement. If you're lesbian or gay or bi or trans and you're young and you're living in an oppressive community and you're bullied at school and maybe rejected at home, it can be pretty hard to feel like things get better. We know that that's one of the roots of suicide, which this LGBTQ community, especially youth, is too vulnerable to. But hearing the stories and the testimony from LGBTQ adults who experienced similar things in their youth, but are now in more affirming, better situations and relationships, it's powerful. It Gets Better helps LGBTQ youth take this leap of faith, even in the midst of some really hard times. And in the process, I have no doubt that this movement has saved some beautiful and tender lives. And for me, when I find myself lost in rough patches of grief or anxiety or illness or difficulties in relationship, when those things are weighing me down, I find nourishment in the It Gets Better movement. There is a universal truth in It Gets Better that can inspire any of us. Saying and feeling its truth requires a leap of faith, and it asks us to live differently as a result, to affirm life, to witness to others that even when life is hard, it will in one way or another get better. And I think even when we have a terminal illness, when we know what the conclusion is going to be, there are some things that can get better when we feel more connected, loved, and supported in that journey, for example. So that movement has taught me to take the leap of faith that I always believe it's going to get better. Okay, here's another area of belief where ultimate proof is impossible. What happens when we die? I lean toward the idea that when we die, we experience oblivion. Our small impact goes on, the physical elements of our body return to the earth, but that there's no consciousness, no spirit that lives on. And this belief, for me, invites me to a particular action. It invites me to act as if I believe that this life and this planet is really what matters, that it's not some future life. It demands that I do my best to care for the only place I think human beings are, which is this earth. Again, I can't prove that my belief is right, but it does change my behavior. Here's a different kind of belief that I've held dear for 25 years, and I will hold it dear as long as I live. I believe deeply that the best days of this fellowship are ahead of us and not behind. I believe this because of the love and the dedication of all of you. I believe it because I know there is so much more this fellowship can do in our community and can be in our community. I believe this with all my heart and all my soul. I can't prove it, just like I can't prove that there is or there is not a residue of consciousness after I die. But this belief that the fellowship's best days are ahead calls me to action. For example, I want to do what I can in my remaining months here as senior minister to position the fellowship well for the months and the years and the decades that will follow. This leap of faith I take fuels that work. And then there's a belief that I, and I think many of you, hold so fervently, the belief that the moral arc of the universe bends toward justice. This belief was first voiced by the 19th century Unitarian abolitionist minister Theodore Parker. It was picked up by Martin Luther King Jr., a familiar refrain from his speeches, including his speech in Selma in March 1965. And of course, there is actually no compelling evidence that the moral arc of the universe does indeed bend toward justice. I don't think we can prove it. Today, we might not have laws segregating lunch counters in schools, but there remains a staggering amount of segregation in our country, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our churches, other faith communities. We may have an African-American president, and bombs may no longer rip black girls' lives, bodies apart while they walk by a window in a church. But a black boy with a toy gun can be shot by police after 2 seconds and left to bleed out while they tackle his sister. I believe that the moral arc of the universe bends toward justice, but I cannot prove it. And from where I stand, I can't even see the bend. I certainly can't see where it touches the earth in this final realization of beloved community, which Dr. King talked about. And you know, Dr. King couldn't see this either. None of us can. Saying the moral arc of the universe bends toward justice is just one big, fat leap of faith. And it's a leap of faith that demands me to act. The moral arc of the universe is not going to bend on its own. It's going to bend only if people like you and me, if we grab it and we hold on even while other people try to knock us off it and we just pull with all our might down. That's the only way it'll bend. It's the only way it's ever bent. Dr. King knew this. Oh, he had a strong belief in a powerful God, certainly much deeper and more fervent than this agnostic person, but King knew that beloved community was not going to happen if people just sat around wishing that God would make it happen. It was not going to come about unless there was a mass movement of people laying down their very lives for their beliefs. Talk about a leap of faith. So he challenged himself. He challenged blacks, he challenged whites alike to stand up to the fire hoses and the dogs and the bullets and grab for that moral arc of the universe and hang on for their dear lives and try to pull it down. King had plenty of doubts about himself, about his beliefs, about how to move forward. The movie Selma illustrates this beautifully. And also remember, he was committed to nonviolence. Like Gandhi before him, this commitment to nonviolence partly came from the understanding that he might be wrong, and that it's a terrible idea to hurt or kill someone when you're wrong, especially. So this was a powerful source of holy doubt for King. And I think he had that doubt his whole life. He also didn't know exactly how we'd get to this promised land of beloved community. One time he said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." I don't think he ever saw the whole staircase. He may have had glimpses, more than most of us, but I don't think anyone can see the whole staircase. We have to take the first step anyway, and then the second step, and then the third step. It's the only way to get up that staircase. In spite of his doubts and uncertainties and his clouded vision, King believed anyway. And to the best of his ability, he heeded this invitation and acted. Over and over again, he took leaps of faith. He took them cautiously, thoughtfully, passionately, powerfully, recklessly, and extravagantly. And because he did so, the world changed. The arc bent at least a little bit toward justice. And I believe this is exactly what we are called to do as Unitarian Universalists. Every day, we need to take leaps of faith to put our beliefs into real life action. And like King, we need to take these leaps cautiously, thoughtfully, passionately, powerfully, recklessly, and extravagantly. So with these thoughts in our minds and hearts, I want us to listen for a minute with fresh ears to the conclusion of Dr. King's last speech. He delivered this in Memphis the night before he would so tragically have his life snuffed out by an assassin. I'm going to play a little more of this closing part of the speech than we usually hear. It has some wisdom that I know I need to hear in this particular time, and you might as well. His words embody this type of leap of faith asked of all of us who are people of faith, including Unitarian Universalists. I'm going to play this in an old-fashioned way, sort of, because we still don't have things quite working. We're getting there. But I think you'll hear the words.
America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. Water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory.